And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. I hope you had a nice weekend and hope you're enjoying today as well. And before I say anything else, I want to thank the people of The Real Church, Pastor Scott and Christine Lovett and the congregation there for a wonderful time on Friday night. They were holding revival. They invited me to come preach one of those evenings. I preached on Friday night, and I just want to thank them for the wonderful hospitality. We had a great time, great people, and listeners, many of them, listeners to American Family Radio. Now, that part of Oklahoma, we don't have a lot of stations. Most of our stations, I think, are in, I hope I get my geography right here, but I think most of our stations are in the western part of the state. And we have quite a few. I think we have 8 or 9 stations in Oklahoma, so we have a lot of people listening. But we did have some people who drove a couple of hours to be there. Mark and Valerie were two people I had a chance to have an opportunity to actually converse with and talk to. They came to my table. We stood there and talked a while. And I understood from my staff that was with me that there were other people from AFR who showed up. I didn't have a chance to talk to them, but they were there because I announced it here on the radio. So thank you all for supporting. Look, what can you say? But you're humbled when people, you know, take a fairly long drive to come and see you. And of course, they had no guarantee of actually meeting me and talking to me. But we had that opportunity, at least in the case of a couple of them. And I was very, very grateful for that. I always am. Anytime you show up somewhere that I am, please make it a point to even if you have to get past people who might be in front of me or surrounding me, or you have to talk to somebody who knows how to get to me, just tell them, look, I'm an AFR listener. And he always says he wants to meet AFR listeners when they come, and they'll show you in. I've had that happen. They'll show you in, because I tell people, hey, if any American Family Radio listeners come and they ask for me, make sure I get a chance to meet them. So it was a pleasure and an honor to have an opportunity to do that, and enjoyed Oklahoma. You know, I'm looking around for places to escape right now, you know, for states to escape to in case, you know. Let's see, Texas, Oklahoma, maybe South Dakota, North Dakota, Wyoming. I'm sure there are a few others. Those come immediately to mind. Now, folks, I'm going to stay in Virginia and fight for George Washington and Patrick Henry and Thomas Jefferson and James Madison and James Monroe and George Mason. I'm going to stay here and fight for those patriots to have their vision for our Commonwealth and their vision for this country fulfilled. So don't worry. The cloud of witnesses that surrounds us is watching to see what we're going to do. And you know what? Just like Ben Franklin challenged us, we've got a republic and we intend to keep it. By the way, on Friday night, I preached a sermon entitled Violent Faith. Violent Faith. And I made clear from the very beginning, I'm not talking about physical violence, okay? You know, I don't have to say that to most of you listening, but you all realize that we have people listening who are listening not with an intent to be edified and built up and encouraged and blessed, but they're listening hoping that they will hear me say something that they can then use against me and spread all over the media. He said, you know, he's stoking, he wants people to get violent, you know. And of course, I always make clear that that is never the way. So violent faith is about 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So we are in warfare, but the weapons are not carnal. They're not physical, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought under obedience to Jesus Christ. And I talked about, you know, what that means, what it means. Because, see, I'm convinced that we are where we are as a country right now because Christians have not really taken our rightful place. I mean, we are the children of El Elyon. He is the Most High God. We are the Most High children. I think it's Psalm 84 that calls us the congregation of the mighty. And, you know, the Word of God says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So I think that as Christians understand who we are and begin to take our rightful place in the public square and begin to declare what thus saith the Lord, I think we're going to see strongholds come down, because it says casting down strongholds and imaginations, so just bringing stuff down that Satan has constructed both in the human mind of so many of our citizens with all this Marxism and socialism and communist nonsense, but also constructed in our institutions. Our institutions have become imbued with this stuff, and they promote it. I just read, I have to find the story, but just read where Twitter kicked somebody off because they defined the HHS secretary, who is apparently a man who's become a woman, and they defined him, they gave his name, and then said he is a transgender woman, formerly a man, or something like that. They suspended their account. So I guess I don't even understand what the rules are with these people. And I don't think they know either, other than they just want to promote this stuff. They want to promote their perversion. They want to promote their sickness. And they don't want anybody suggesting anything that would question it. Although I read that and read it two or three times and said, but I don't understand what the person, what's wrong about this. It is a, it's just like saying somebody wrote, what's Jenner's name now? Kaylin or Jalen or whatever his name is. But anyway, he's got a female name now. But anyway, somebody says, you know, so-and-so Jenner is a transgender woman, formerly a man or something like that. And somebody, oh, you can't say that. That's terrible. How dare you say such a thing? What did I say? It's true, isn't it? See, they're shifting the language and changing the vocabulary. And this is what Marxists do. You know, that's what 1984 is all about. You know, down is up, up and is down. Liberty is slavery. Slavery is freedom, and so on. And this is what the left is doing. They are doing a job on the American culture. And we just have to believe God, as well as stand up for the truth and believe God for a shift in the atmosphere, if you will. But before we go to the first break, I want to share this scripture with you because it's been on my mind for several days. And I may have shared this with you before, but it's just really been, it's been looming big in me. And it's Psalm 37, beginning at verse 35. And it says, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. Now, that's the ultimate outcome of all the wickedness we see. That's where it's headed. I'm not going to do anything to anybody. You're not going to do anything to anybody, because we don't believe in that. I'm talking about the moral nature of the universe God has created says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And you think you can sow the deaths of billions of babies and spread it all over the world and take taxpayer money and do it? And you think you can do that? And there are no spiritual and ultimately earthly as well as eternal consequences? you better wake up. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
We're hearing more and more talk of instituting a domestic war on terror. Glenn Greenwald says that he has seen all of this before. Some calling for new domestic police powers against terrorists admit that they are using a model from the first war on terror nearly two decades ago. Politicians and pundits even suggest that we think about creating a 9/11 type of commission for domestic extremism. That would obviously be modeled on the 9/11 commission established in 2002. Perhaps they argue that some of the lessons from the fight against Islamic terrorism can be applied to the threat here at home. Sure, let's just take the various weapons we used on foreign battlefields and import them onto a domestic soil against our fellow Americans. Glenn Greenwald reminds us that many of the abuses that surfaced due to the threat of Islamic terrorism, the authorization to use military force has been responsible for two decades of war. The Patriot Act that radically expanded government surveillance powers was enacted on the promise that it would be temporary and sunset in 4 years. He also asked why we would need new terrorism laws in a country that already imprisons more of its citizens than nearly every country in the world. What acts should be criminalized under these new domestic terrorism laws? We can assume that what will be criminalized will be anything the party in power dislikes. The justification for a domestic war on terror comes after the January 6th riot in the U.S. Capitol. Let me end with some needed common sense. If you attacked a police officer, you go to jail, whether you're carrying a Trump flag or an Antifa flag. If you trespass on federal property, whether a federal courthouse in Portland or the Capitol in Washington, you go to jail. We don't need new domestic terror laws. We need to enforce the laws we have. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Loneliness, go to viewpoints.info/loneliness. That's viewpoints.info/loneliness.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Since taking the White House, Joe Biden has made repeated calls for unity. He said, "To love our neighbors as ourselves is a radical act, yet it's what we're called to do. We must rise above our divisions and truly heal." One good way to heal our divisions would be for the new president to support the Hyde Amendment that stops our tax dollars from funding abortion on demand. Back in 1976, Hyde was passed in bipartisan fashion and continued throughout the Carter, Clinton, and Obama presidencies. But Mr. Biden changed his position from supporting Hyde to giving his presidential seal of approval on funding the killing with our tax dollars. If he supports unity, President Biden should begin the healing by supporting the Hyde Amendment.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Brian Fisher here. Guess who's been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize? Will Joe Biden's climate agenda replace the jobs he's already killed off? Let's ask the Associated Press. Who does Joe Biden's administration believe is the biggest threat to our national security? And wait till you hear Kamala Harris's solution for laid-off pipeline workers. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Yeah, folks, it was Citizens that focus on the families, the Daily Citizen. I don't know how many of you know the organization as part of what Dr. James Dobson started many decades ago. And they still have something called the Daily Citizen, which is a magazine on public affairs. And in the magazine, they apparently tweeted under the aegis of the magazine, they tweeted Dr. Levine, who is Assistant Secretary for Health and Human Services. And I don't know what his name really is, but he's claiming to be Rachel. And I'm looking at a picture of him right now, and I said, "Whoa, brother, oh my goodness gracious." And I'm not commenting on the man's looks. I mean, as a man, he would look fine. I mean, he would just look like a normal guy. But as a woman, oh brother, man. Well, I'll tell you what, if this guy's a man with a woman on the inside of him, the woman hadn't come to the outside yet. Let me tell you, she's still hidden in there somewhere. Because that's a guy. But nevertheless, he thinks he's Rachel. But here's all that the Focus on the Family, Citizens Magazine said. Dr. Levine, very respectful, right, is a transgender woman, still kind of going with their language. That is, and now defining it for people who may not understand, because I get confused myself. Is a transgender woman a woman who wants to be a man or a man who wants to be a woman? I lose track. They said that is a man who believes he is a woman. For that, Twitter suspended their account. This is not about hate speech even. This is simply about censoring and controlling what people see and hear and punishing conservatives. That's what it's about. Because I think I'm objective enough to be able to say, well, that's a little bit, you know, that's a little bit off color. That's a little bit rough. I mean, I know sometimes on this program I can sound maybe a little bit rough. But to me, that's a nothing burger. There's nothing there except for people who might not understand, people like me, because I'm serious about this. When you say transgender woman, I think, transgender woman, is that a woman trying to be a man or is that a man trying to be a woman? And they clarified that. They said that is a man who believes he is a woman. Okay, all right, now I know. Oh, no, you can't say that. So I'm wondering what part of it is inappropriate. You could say he is, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what you're allowed to say. Well, apparently it's not what you're allowed to say. It's who you're allowed to be. And if you don't bow and kowtow and genuflect and just go along with whatever these far leftists who control big tech and control the Democrat Party and control our colleges, our universities, and many of our public schools, if you don't go along, you must be punished. And if you wonder what can you say, ask them. They'll tell you what you're allowed to say. Okay, they'll give you very specific words you may and may not use. And that's all you have to do is listen. You might want to write them down and obey. And all will be well. I know. They're not leaving a lot of wiggle room, are they? I mean, these polls that suggest the possibility of a civil war in the years to come. I've written a piece that have not published it yet, but look, we conservatives have not changed in the last half century. Think about this. The ideas that we held 50 years ago that were considered perfectly mainstream American, you know, nobody would have even questioned or wondered, what's a marriage? Oh, marriage is a union between one man and one woman, bonds of holy matrimony. I mean, people would have been bored. Oh, yeah, all right, that's true. How many genders are there? Well, there are two, male and female. Oh, yeah, that's true. Is it wrong to destroy a baby in its mother's womb? Well, of course not. Of course not. Moving on. Of course not. I mean, everybody understands that. So our views, I mean, conservatives supported Israel when Israel was first birthed in 1948. Conservatives believed in limited government from the beginning of this country, frankly. I mean, I don't know how you class Alexander Hamilton. I think Alexander Hamilton was more of a big government guy, but then, he was dealing with a time when there wasn't much government at all. I mean, we barely had a standing army. But generally speaking, the philosophy of our founding fathers and the philosophy of the country in general, for the most part, was government has limited powers. Let's keep it in check. Let's avoid having it get out of hand. Thomas Jefferson's principle, the government that is big enough to give you everything you need is big enough to take everything you have. We don't want that. So my point is, conservatives and conservative principles have not changed. I said 50 years. Make it 200 years, 250 years. As long as the country's existed, perhaps, except the issues of abortion and homosexuality and all that weren't really coming up, of course, here until the last 30, 40 years in the way they have now. But here's my point. We have not changed. It is the left that has labeled us far right as if somehow we have moved from our once centrist positions to these extremist positions way out there on the right. They're dangerous people. And it's a ruse, folks. It's a magician's trick. Because we have not moved a bit. They've moved. But because so many institutions support them and they're in control of the vocabulary and they in many ways dominate the culture, they get to define who's moved. And they say, we've moved. And the mainstream media says, oh, that's right. That's right. Do you know how many times do you ever read in the mainstream media anything about the far left? You don't. They don't use that to describe Antifa. They don't use that to describe Black Lives Matter. They don't use that to describe the Democrat Socialist Party. They never use that term. But ordinary Christians who believe in life, far right. Ordinary Christians who believe in marriage, far right. Ordinary Christians just believe, let's support Israel. I mean, Israel has been, the Jews have been persecuted. They tried to exterminate them. They're surrounded by enemies. Let's support Israel. God commands us to do that. Far right. It's a ruse, folks. It's an ugly one. It's a very, very ugly one. They're always pointing the finger of Nazism and Hitler at conservatives. But the fact of the matter is they are behaving just like the fascists and the totalitarians. And by the way, you know, fascists are nothing but communists with an extreme nationalist viewpoint. That's all fascists are. And here again, this whole thing of we just did a spot on Christian nationalism. We as Christians believe that America is a providential nation and that we're not the greatest nation on earth and the most prosperous and strongest by accident. We believe that God has blessed us, that God has blessed our country because it was rooted and grounded in Him, the first and only nation in history to ever proclaim as its founding principles that freedom and rights don't come from government or the people. They come from Almighty God. And we Christians who love our country, who are patriots, are simply saying, we've got to preserve that. Oh, that's Christian nationalism. That's racism. That's homophobia. That's xenophobia. That's, I mean, whatever kind of phobia they can come up with. That's Islamophobia. We don't want Sharia law in our legal bloodstream. Oh, that's Islamophobia. No, it's a recognition that American life and culture is unique in the earth, and we want to preserve it. We don't want to preserve it because we hate other people. We don't want to preserve it because we want to subjugate other people. We want to preserve it because it's been a blessing to us, and we want that same blessing to be handed down to our children and our grandchildren. Is that plain and simple? But oh, no. That's far right. That's far right. If you said something like that, 30, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, or less, people just look at you like, okay, what do you expect me to argue with that? What, is that an issue? Because everybody would say, well, yeah, of course that's true. I mean, of course. That's not even a question. Oh, no. No, that's a question now. That's a question. That's a very big question because you just revealed your white supremacy. That's you know what? This is Alice in Wonderland. You know, we've gone down the rabbit hole. These people They've created in their own minds a topsy-turvy world. They've created the 1984 scenario where, let's come back to scripture. They've created the Isaiah 5 scenario where evil is good and good is evil, where darkness is light and light is darkness, where bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. They're wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight, and those who trust in God are fools. So, but you know what? The Bible looks at the plans of men and laughs. The Bible says God looks at the plans of men and laughs. You know what? I'm laughing too. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Paul has some words for us in 2 Corinthians
For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. You know, I'm a rich man. Some people I know will deny that. They look at my salary, my bank account, what possessions I have. They by no means consider me a rich man. They wouldn't even go so far as say that I was in the middle bracket, much less in the upper bracket. But like I said, I'm a rich man. I'm a rich man. I'm rich because of my heritage. I came from a home where parents loved me, provided for my needs to the best of their ability, sacrificed things they very much needed so that I could have advantages they never had. I'm a rich man. I have a wife who loves me. She puts up with all my faults, stands beside me, pulls for me when the going is rough. No, she's no Hollywood star. But most of the stars in Hollywood cannot hold a light to her when it comes to real beauty. Yes, I'm a rich man. I have 4 wonderful children. I have 5 grandchildren. Children and grandchildren who give hope and promise of a better tomorrow. I love them, want the best for them, and try to bring them up in a Christian environment like my parents did before me. I'm a rich man. I have a job, a very meaningful job. Not much money in it, nor prestige, but it gives me a chance to help my fellow man, to lift the sights of others to a higher level, give my life to a cause that will leave the world a better place in which to live. I'll probably never reach the top of my profession, but I can face life knowing I did my best in the job which I felt my Creator wanted me to do. I have a job which I consider important because He considers it important. And again, I'm a rich man. I want to say it one more time. I'm a rich man. I live in a free country. Millions and millions of people cannot know the richness of that. They live under the shadow of a dictator. Millions more here in the country where I live have never realized that freedom is an obligation, not a license. Thus, they're poor. Poor because they have not learned that freedom is not a license to drag men down into the depths of filth, but that freedom is an obligation to lift myself and my fellow man to greater and greater heights, pressing on toward that high mark to which our Maker calls us. Again, I'll say it, I'm a rich man. I have friends who are friends. They stay with me through the good times and the bad. They encourage me. They cause me to try harder. They keep me from giving up. When the clouds of darkness are around me, these friends of mine are beside me. They're true friends. The doors to their homes are open to me as mine is to them. I'm a rich man. I've found what many still are searching for. I've found forgiveness and understanding and help. I've found them in a crucified Galilean. He takes my weaknesses and makes me strong. He takes my fears and makes me brave. He takes my doubts and makes me believe. He assures me of what every person wants to know, that there will be life after death for me. Like I said, I'm a rich man. Oh, by the way, can I borrow a dime?
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Well, you all need to know, too, that because some of these people are in our listening audience, some of you who are listening are in these people's jurisdictions. Let's put it that way. Some are not, but these are the 10 senators that the President Biden is now meeting with on the Republican side to bring us together. Collins in Maine, Murkowski in Alaska, Cassidy in Louisiana, Romney in Utah, Portman in Ohio, Capito is the correct pronunciation of her name, in West Virginia, Young in Indiana, Moran in Kansas, Rounds in South Dakota, and Tillis in North Carolina. I tell you, of course, Tillis, I spent some time and energy trying to help Tillis get elected, folks, years ago, and I frankly regretted it because to me he's been a leaky vessel. And of course, you know the rest of them, Portman is the guy who, once he found out a member of his family was homosexual, he changed his complete philosophy. Now look, I'm not saying we disown our loved ones or that we mistreat them. We love them. We pray for them. We continue to want to interact with them. But you don't change your principles because someone is doing something that you really believe is against the Word of God, and suddenly the Word of God goes away, and I see the light. And so, and of course, he was an opponent of the president. And I'm surprised with some of these folks. I mean, South Dakota is pretty conservative. West Virginia is pretty conservative. I don't know that their constituents are going to particularly care for them deciding that they're going to consort with President Biden about his agenda. But that's just me. And you know what you notice? You don't ever see Democrats doing that. You don't ever see them doing that. You don't ever see them doing that. They just don't. They don't. They talk about bipartisanship. They talk about unity. But what that means is you all come over to our side and we can be unified. Look, I want to get to your calls early. We had a good time on Friday with plenty of phone calls. Let's see if we can get a few extras in today. 888-589-8840 is the number. My producer just sent me some more pictures of this man, because he is a man. Yeah, he's definitely a man. Rachel, I don't know what his name was. I wonder what his real name is. Rachel Levine. And oh my goodness gracious, you can look that up yourself, but just be ready. Keystone Pipeline, 11,000 jobs lost. 1,000 people are going to be laid off within a matter of weeks. So they're people who were scheduled to be hired who are never going to be hired now. And there are some states, but they're flyover states. They tend to be conservative states that are going to be very, very hard hit by this, because remember, these jobs create a multiplier effect, and other jobs are created by these jobs, the places that people shop, the things that they buy. In other words, the whole economy that rises up around these people who are being well paid to do an important job, other economic benefits flow from that. Well, that's all gone. Black Lives Matter has been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. Here again, see, we're in the rabbit hole. We're in the rabbit hole. Black Lives Matter, the Marxist organization, Black Lives Matter, where the guy said, if we don't get what we want, we're going to burn this thing down. And he said that on television. He left out the profanity, but when the television cameras, well, when he wasn't on primetime television, shall we say, he said it a little bit differently, and I think you can use your imagination for that. We've got a secret meeting to determine what is this, the Star Chamber? They're going to determine what to do with Hawley and Cruz, as if they did something wrong. What did they do? What did they do wrong? I mean, they questioned the election, and well, they should have, and well, everybody should, because as far as I am concerned, the election was fraught with all kinds of problems. Fraud, I can't prove it. I wasn't there, but I know what I did witness. I know what I was able to garner, and I can say at the very least, there should be a thorough investigation of the 2020 election to determine exactly what happened in every single state where questions were raised. I mean, that's the normal thing to do. So, but no, we're going to have a secret meeting, and we're going to determine what we do about Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley. Whew. The purge continues. And, of course, Andrew Cuomo is continuing to pat himself on the back for what a wonderful job he did. I mean, after all, he won an Emmy. It's just like a Nobel Peace Prize. Worthless. Let's see. Oh, and you're going to love this one. LGBT flags are now to be flown again in the embassies across the world. Donald Trump did away with all that. But now, they're coming back. Now, what I want to know is, if we're going to fly the LGBT flag, why don't we fly the black flag? Why don't we fly the Mexican flag? Why don't we fly the Confederate flag? Why don't we fly every flag that people in this country have any kind of connection to, affection for, interest in? Why are we just flying the LGBTQ or the homosexual, transgender, What's the other? There's a third thing. What is it? Is it non-binary? I think it's non-binary, where you're not heterosexual, homosexual, or transgender. You're kind of something else. No, I'm serious. I'm not making it up. I'm not trying to be funny. You're something else that transcends all categories. So I guess the flag is supposed to represent all of that. Yeah, because it's now LGBTQ, and I think it's I, isn't it? Or is it, it's I or K or something. I forget, there's a fifth letter now. LGBTQ, no, there's a sixth letter now. So, but at any rate, yeah, they're gonna be flying around the embassies. Americans be proud. Now they don't wanna stand up for the flag, but they wanna fly the homosexual flag. Talk about confusion, folks, utter confusion. Let me get some calls in before, at least try to get one or two in before we go to the next break, and then I'll come back and hit a couple of other issues. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's go to Dana in Arkansas. Dana, welcome.
Hi. I really appreciate you, my brother, and I just wanted to say you're so right about the confusion, because you may have already said this, and excuse me if you have, but that rioting, looting, arsonist, maiming, murdering insurrectionist group Black Lives Matter is now up for a Nobel Peace Prize. Can you believe that? I'd just like you to comment on that. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, look, it's oxymoronic. It's crazy. But what it tells you is this. These people are living in an altered state of reality. They really are. So here again, it's like 1984. Peace is violence, and violence is peace. Because remember, the dangerous people are the Tea Party people, the Trump supporters, the constitutionalists who would go to rallies, function peacefully, clean up after themselves, leave the place more clean and pristine than it was when they found it. They're the dangerous people. They're the violent people. But the folks who are going out rioting, tearing up stores, looting, threatening people, getting in people's faces, going to their homes, going on their property unlawfully, they're peaceful protesters. Or as Comrade Kamala put it, they're brilliant. So I have lost all confidence. The Nobel Peace Prize to me means absolutely nothing. Remember, they gave Barack Obama the Nobel Peace Prize for simply winning the election. So what does that tell you? It's a joke now. It is nothing but a reward for people who toe the leftist line. That's all it amounts to now. If you are a leftist and you come to public attention, then you get the Nobel Peace Prize. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't give Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I wouldn't be surprised for just being, I don't know, for being what? I don't know. What is she? I mean, I don't know. It can't be for being smart. Can't be for being effective. She hasn't gotten anything done. So, but that doesn't matter. Because, you know, she's a person, quote unquote, a person of color, and she got elected to Congress. That's all you need to know. Back in a moment.
Each day, The Stand brings you articles and commentaries related to Christian life. Recently, Dr. Jerry Newcomb wrote,
I have found as a Bible reader for about 45 years now that reading the scriptures is rewarding in and of itself. Reading the Bible is vital because through it, God speaks to us. His word is inexhaustible.
Read Bible Reading, a worthy goal for the new year. And subscribe to this online publication by visiting afa.net/thestand. That's afa.net/thestand.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
When a young mom in crisis is pregnant and not sure what to do, the Ministry of Preborn is there.
This young mom was 18 weeks pregnant and was considering an abortion. She talked with the staff and then met her baby on ultrasound.
After seeing my baby on the screen and hearing the heartbeat, I realized that's my little baby, and we decided to step up and be parents.
Preborn centers lead the nation in providing free ultrasounds and leading young moms to Christ.
The staff comfort us and they let us know that it is well with Jesus, and now here I am today.
Preborn clinics are the largest providers of free ultrasounds in the nation and the direct competition to Planned Parenthood. To learn how you can help save a baby's life, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
One of our boys is definitely a pleaser, and the other kids would just, they'd be unkind, they'd push him too far, and he'd never stand up for himself.
Kay Yurkovich explains how you can help your child learn from boundaries on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
So we had to recognize that and say, you know, he's nice, but he's too nice. And so we role played with him, and we pretended we were the friends, and we gave him some lines to say, if you treat me like that again, I'm not going to play with you anymore. And he was so afraid to do it because he thought, well, the kids won't like me or they'll never have me back. But, you know, I remember the day he finally delivered the line and he came home and he said, oh, I did it. I don't know. And the next day, his friend not only played with him, but he treated him way better.
It's so important to help our children think through and establish good boundaries. And you'll hear more parenting insights from Kay and Mylon Yurkovich today at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Let me just get a couple quick things in about the vaccine that I want to spend the rest of the time taking your calls. Joe Biden said before he got elected, quote, I'll be ready on day one of my administration to protect this country's health and well-being. And then he said, my healthcare team will be ready to spare not a single effort to get the pandemic under control so we can get back to work, get back to our lives. We'll have to move heaven and earth to get more people vaccinated, to create more places for them to get vaccinated, to mobilize more medical teams to get shots in people's arms. Guess what? There are 20 million missing doses of the vaccine. Nobody knows where they are. Now, do you think if the Trump administration had made that kind of gargantuan mistake, it would not be front page news and they would not be calling for his impeachment for incompetence or the 25th Amendment to be employed, because obviously the man's not up to the job? How do you lose 20 million vaccine doses? But you'll take some solace in this. Those doses, some of them, not all of those obviously, but among the very first people that they were planning to vaccinate were the Guantanamo Bay detainees. Because after all, and the people left there, by the way, are the people who participated in the 9-1-1 attack, who killed nearly 3,000 people, most of those Americans. We want to make sure that they get vaccinated because we wouldn't want them to get COVID. Now, I'm not being inhumane, folks, and I'm not... But that's your priority? This is a weird thing, that it's almost like everything they do is calculated to disrespect and dishonor and disregard the American people and honor the people who are enemies. I mean, it's just weird, but that seems to be the way they function. To do, let's get back into the deal with Iran. I mean, 888-589-8840 is the number. As promised, let's get right back to your calls. Julian in Georgia. Julian, welcome.
Welcome. February Black History Month?
Yes, sir, it is. According to some, it is.
Let me read something to you real quick. Abortion-induced deaths of the unborn in the black community are 69 times higher than HIV deaths, 31 times higher than all other homicides, 3.6 times higher than cancer-related death, and 3.5 times higher than death caused by heart disease. That's 259,336,000 little black babies killed. I saw on TV the other day, this fellow was talking about, and they was talking about, since Roe v. Wade, there have been the equivalent of 20 million black babies killed since Roe v. Wade. And that's the equivalent of every black American that was living in the 1960s. Yeah.
Well, Julian, you are absolutely right, my friend. And on Black History Month, and look, you're right, and that's something that's got to stop. And abortion in general has got to stop. And I'm believing God that the day will come when we will awaken to the evil of abortion as a nation, and stop pretending like it's just really no big thing. But on Black History Month, I tell you, I'm of two minds on it. I mean, on the one hand, I understand, I guess, the sentiment that birthed it and all of that. But, you know, I just think we ought to tell American history. And it's the history of people from Africa, from Ireland, from Germany, from Spain, from Great Britain, from Russia, from Eastern European countries. I mean, it's the story of people from all over the world. That's the story of America. I just don't like the segregating. I think we've got to, at some point, stop it. Just stop it. And just tell the story of all of those beautiful streams that came together to create this wonderful thing we call American culture and American history. Thanks for the call, Julian. Let's go to Tom in Texas. Tom, great to have you on.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Hey, man, you're the man. I wish you would run for president. I'd rather have him in there than Biden. You know, you in there inside of Biden, but you know, President Trump was one of the best.
Well, listen, wait a minute, Tom. That you're not giving me a very high bar.
can you hear me?
I can hear you. I say you're not giving me a very high bar to say you'd rather have me than Biden.
I didn't mean it like that.
I'm just kidding with you. I know you didn't, Tom. Go ahead.
President, I mean, I listen to you every day, man. I love you, man. I ain't never met you before, but I know, man, you get along real good. But President Trump's one of the best presidents that we'll ever have. I mean, Biden can't hold a candle to him, man. He just can't handle it. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to get off. Biden's going to ruin this country. He's going to ruin it.
It seems to me he's already on the way to doing that, and doing it with a prideful attitude that, you know, he knows everything and he knows what he's doing. And you're right, he doesn't have a clue. But I'll disagree with you. He's not going to ruin this country because we're not going to allow him to do that. We're not going to allow him to do that. There's going to be elections in 2022. We've got legislative elections across the country, in some cases next year. But we need to hold on to, we meaning conservatives, we need to hold on to these state legislatures, and we need to hold the conservatives in the federal legislature, hold their feet to the fire and tell them, we expect you to fight. You know, you get AOC running around telling people that the Republicans are a threat to her safety. And you get Republicans saying basically nothing. They ought to say, you know, the woman is psychotic because she's not that important that we care about her. And we know the mainstream media is giving her a big platform. We don't quite know why, but we don't really care because she doesn't really matter. But instead, they mealy-mouth too much instead of just boldly saying what people want and need to hear. That's how President Trump got elected. And I don't think most Republicans have gotten the message that people are just tired of the political speak and they want to hear somebody be straightforward and just tell it like it T-I-T-S, as they say. Okay, but thank you for the call. Let's go to Gene. Is that Gene? Is that right in Texas? Also in Texas, another Texan.
Yes, sir. I've got one major point to make, and that is if we were to take somebody had a true history of the Democratic Party all the way back to the founding of this country, you would find everything they're accusing the right of is actually things that have already been done by the leftists.
Yep, Gene, you're absolutely right, and they're still doing them. And by the way, I think David Barton has made that case. If you all aren't familiar with the Wall Builders and David Barton, David Barton has made that case, I think, than any other single person in America. And he lays it out and makes clear. And I've said before, spiritually, it's the same Democrat Party that it was in slavery. They just found a new way to control people. But it's the same spirit. That same spirit is in that party. But thank you for the call, Gene. Let's go to Lynn in Arkansas. Lynn, welcome.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to say about our phones. Everywhere we go, our phone algorithms are taking down what we say. And I was talking to someone who knows tech the other day, and they said whether it's a flip phone, an iPhone, or a landline, because landlines now are connected to modems, that whatever we say is, you know, on the algorithms. Anyway, I suggested at a Bible study I go to that we not bring our phones in. And this one guy just had a fit, you know, just freaked out. And I thought, I wanted to say, am I talking to a teenager? But, you know, I didn't. Anyway.
Yeah, Well, Lynn, thank you so much. I'm running out of time. But, yeah, some people are a little bit addicted to it. In fact, a lot of us are. But you're right. I won't get into that. Let me get to William in Texas. William, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, man? Hey, I really appreciate your radio show. You're very articulated. You're very well-spoken, sir. I listen to you almost every day. I have three main points I'd like to hit real quick. I'm going to try and be succinct as possible. A lot of disaffected Christian youth, I myself being a millennial, have turned towards Christianity. Some of that kind of shrouded in hermeticism a little bit, but they are reaching towards God. Even though the mainstream media would have you believe that it's all just nihilism at this point, it's not. More and more turning towards Christianity. Two, we were founded on a puritanical society, which has slowly slipped away from us over the last three centuries, and that's kind of where the fight is. And three, the flag, the rainbow was made by God, man. I mean, that's an Amen. Expression of love for humanity. It shouldn't have anything to do with filth or sodomy or anything like that. Excuse me for the language, but you have an excellent day,
well,
sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much, William. Thank you. I don't think you said anything wrong, because sodomy is filth, and it is an abomination in the sight of God. And I know that that's not popular, but it's biblical. Let's get to Jody, also in Texas. Wow, today is my Texas day. Welcome, Jody.
Hello, how are you?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, I was just fixing to go into work, but I've been listening to your show for a while now, and over the past week, your show and several others on the station, but I just hear a lot of people, and some are losing hope and some aren't, but they're forgetting one of the most important parts, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. It actually says, you can make your plans, but I determine your steps. So no matter what plans they make, in the end, God has the ultimate final say-so. And Amen. I just want people to remember that.
Well, Jody, that's a great note on which to end the program. I could not agree with you more. And that's what I've been saying to people. God has a plan, and his plan is not always what we think is going to happen or the way we think it's going to happen. But we know this, that his plan for us is good, because God said in Jeremiah 29, I know the plans I have for you, plans to do you good and not harm, to give you hope and a future and an expected end. And he was saying that to people who were in rebellion against him. And for those of us who love him and seek to obey him and follow him, the plans he has for us are good, and they can be implemented because we're going to fully cooperate with him. Well, God bless each and every one of you. Yes, by all means, just look, let the joy of the Lord be your strength. And remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.